Good afternoon, and welcome to the 2020 Annual General Meeting of Australian Unity Limited. My name is Peter Promnitz, and I'm the Chair of the company and of this meeting. As we gather for this AGM today, physically dispersed but virtually connected, let us reflect the meaning of place, and in doing so, recognize the various traditional lands on which we meet. I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the people of the Kulin Nations and the lands that I'm speaking from today. I also acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which each of you are living and working from today. I pay my respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Before I officially declare the 2020 AGM open, I'd like to mention that the webcast of this meeting will be available on our website after the event so that members can catch up later. Every year, we have a lot of great questions from our members. This year, members and proxy holders can submit questions via the Ask a Question link within this online platform. You're welcome to submit multiple questions. However, please submit one question in the box at a time. We will be addressing questions of a general nature and any relating to our resolutions later in the meeting. I encourage you to send them through as soon as possible. If we do not address your question today, a representative from Australian Unity will respond to you individually in due course. Voting on the resolutions will be conducted by a poll. You're welcome to submit your vote at any time up until I announce the poll to be closed, or you can submit your vote before and after I announce each resolution. To do so, use the electronic voting card you received when your online registration was validated, or click on the Get a Voting Card link and follow the instructions. Step-by-step instructions are also available in our online platform guide on the company performance page of our website. After the final question time, I will provide five further minutes for voting, after which I will formally close the meeting. A red bar with a countdown timer will appear at the top of the slide screen, advising the remaining voting time. If you've not yet submitted your vote, you'll be required to do so by the end of that time. Please note, only financial members and proxy holders may vote. I have several formal matters to attend to. First, I can confirm that a quorum is present. Therefore, I formally declare the 2020 Annual General Meeting of Australian Unity Limited open. Second, I'd like to introduce my fellow directors who are all present at this virtual meeting today. We have Melinda Colenso, Chair of the Investment Committee and a member of the People, Culture and Remuneration Committee and the Risk and Compliance Committee. Lisa Chung, who is Chair of the People, Culture and Remuneration Committee and a member of the Audit Committee, Investment Committee, and Risk and Compliance Committee. In accordance with our procedures, both Melinda and Lisa will be standing for re-election at this AGM. They will say a few words later in the meeting. I'd like to personally welcome Julian Fleiss to his first AGM as a director. Julian was appointed to the board on the 1st of February this year and will also be standing for re-election at this AGM. Julian is a member of the Audit Committee and the Risk and Compliance Committee. He will introduce himself later in the meeting. Paul Kirk, Chair of the Audit Committee and a member of the People, Culture and Remuneration Committee. Sue McCluskey, Chair of the Risk and Compliance Committee and a member of the Audit Committee, the Investment Committee, and the People, Culture and Remuneration Committee. Greg Wilcock, member of the Risk and Compliance Committee and the Audit Committee. Rowan Mead, our Group Managing Director, is also here today. Rowan will shortly outline the major activities and achievements of the company during the year. We're also joined by Melinda Honey, our Company Secretary, General Counsel, and Chief Risk Officer. We also have many of our group leadership team with us today, including Darren Mann, Group Executive, Finance and Strategy, and Chief Financial Officer. Darren was appointed to the Group Executive role in July this year. We have the three CEOs of the various business divisions we call our platforms. Kevin McCoy, CEO of our Independent and Assisted Living platform. Esther Kerr-Smith, CEO of the Wealth and Capital Markets platform. Esther was appointed to this role also in July after almost 3 years as Group Executive, Finance and Strategy. I'd also like to welcome Christine Yates, the new CEO of our retail platform, who joined Australian Unity in August. Christine brings to us strong experience across investment and institutional banking, private banking, wealth management and insurance. We also welcome representatives from the company's auditors, regulators, advisors and other consultants. Third, I advise that the notice of meeting has been given in accordance with the company's constitution and copies are available both on our website and at our head office reception in Spring Street, Melbourne. I'll accordingly take the notice of meeting as read. The minutes of the 2019 Annual General Meeting of Australian Unions Limited have been reviewed by the board and recorded as a true and correct proceeding in accordance with the Corporations Act. The minutes are tabled and available to download on this AGM platform with the 2020 Notice of Meeting and Annual Report. Today, we have a number of formal items of business to cover. These are set out in the Notice of Meeting. Before we move to these items, I'd like to offer you some thoughts about the group as we progress into the 2021 financial year. Following this, Ryan will report to you on the operations of the group. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you who attended last year's annual general meeting may recall that I was unable to be with you at our new corporate offices in Spring Street. Instead, I joined the 2019 AGM via video link, which from my perspective at least felt a little unusual. Fast forward 12 months and virtual meetings are now the norm as we've had to adapt quickly to our new ways of conducting our business activities. This AGM is the first in 180-year history to be held as a virtual meeting. However, new ways of working are just the tip of the iceberg in terms of the seismic shifts we've seen in the 12 months since your board member, Melinda Colenso, stood before you to deliver the Chair's address on my behalf. Indeed, as the group prepared to enter into its 180th year, there was little indication of what we faced in the months ahead. The emergence of COVID-19 in the second half of FY2020 required quick and decisive actions across the group's businesses to support our members and customers, notably the implementation of extraordinary measures to seek to protect our aged care residents and home care customers, and hardship relief for our health insurance policyholders and banking customers. The health, safety and wellbeing of the group's 7,000 employees during the pandemic was also a priority. To this end, we quickly introduced specific health and safety measures to protect our home and residential care workers. And since March this year, we have supported most of our office-based employees to work from home. Recognising that COVID-19 has affected the way we work and created new and sometimes challenging issues for our people, we have adjusted leave management guidelines and strengthened measures to support employee mental health and wellbeing. In addition to the other responses to the pandemic, the board has considered its own position and that of senior staff. The board determined it would forego 10% of directors' fees from 1 July through December 2020, at which time we will review the situation. In relation to senior staff, we determined that there would be no payments of variable remuneration for FY2020. The emergence of COVID-19 in the second half of the year caused substantial financial and operational shocks, including various revenue and cost impacts across the group. These included delays to initiatives planned for the second half of the year, which needed to be paused or stopped to allow management to respond to immediate business continuity requirements. The group's financial performance reflected a commitment to maintaining and, where possible, improving levels of service and responsiveness to the needs of our members and customers, while at the same time pursuing efficiency measures to mitigate risks and curtail expenditures. A priority for the group in FY2020 was the maintenance of a solid balance sheet position in support of our operational resilience and agility. This was progressed with a bond issue in October 2019 that spread the maturity of borrowings. You may recall that another option for raising funds, the issuing of mutual capital instruments, known as MCIs, was provided to the group through a vote of members at the 2019 AGM. While the group did not exercise this option in FY2020, we see good potential in this capital raising instrument for supporting our strategic agenda. Seeking to deliver value to members, customers, employees and the broader community has been a hallmark of the group since its origins in 1840. Some 180 years later, that commitment is demonstrated not only in our products and services, but also through our efforts in helping us address Australia's social infrastructure challenge. To this end, significant progress was made in FY2020 with our headline social infrastructure project, the $1.1 billion Hurston Quarter redevelopment in Brisbane. The first Hurston building delivered through a partnership with the Queensland Government, the $390 million Surgical Treatment and Rehabilitation Service, known as STARS, is scheduled for completion in the first half of the current financial year. Our Healthcare Property Trust, which is funding STARS, conducted a successful capital raising of approximately $275 million during FY 2020, while about $40 million in equity was raised for the group's new specialist disability accommodation fund to provide accessible accommodation for Australians with disability. In FY 2020, the group progressed its work on delivering greater recognition and shared value for you, the members of Australian Unity Limited, and you can expect to hear more about this in the coming months. It also continued developing a community and social value framework to provide a meaningful and reportable measurement of the value of the group's activities delivered to the community. Despite the emergence of a global pandemic, the Australian Unity Group continues to progress its strategic agenda as an organisation, providing products and services to meet the wellbeing needs of its members and customers, while delivering community and social value. In the year ahead, the board plans to revise the 10-year strategic plan that underpins this work. We do not expect a marked departure from the current approach. However, the new plan will identify how we should improve and expand upon the actions we've taken over the past decade. Your board looks to updating you on this work as it progresses. On behalf of the board, I want to thank Group Managing Director Rowan Mead and his executive team for their hard work in an extremely challenging year. We also note the departure at the end of FY 2020 of two long-serving executives, David Bryant and Matt Walsh. Their contribution over many years was important in establishing the group in its current form. And of course, we pay tribute to the efforts of all our employees and thank them for their resilience, agility and determination in the face of extraordinary circumstances. I will now take this opportunity to address a couple of questions which are raised by members in response to our invitation to submit questions prior to the meeting. Most questions received referred specifically to products, statements and reports of individual members. These have been directed to our relevant customer service representatives and handled appropriately. There are a couple of questions of a more general nature that I thought members present may be interested in. One such question was how Australian Unity is ensuring the safety of residents and staff in its aged care homes during the COVID-19 pandemic. There are 6,000 employees across our remedy, healthcare, dental, home and disability services, residential communities and Aboriginal home care businesses that are at the front line of the fight against COVID-19. They support 50,000 plus customers who are amongst the most vulnerable people in our communities. Whether it's people living in their residential communities or those receiving home care services, Australian Unity is doing everything we can to support and protect them. We have policies and systems in place to best prevent and, if required, respond to outbreaks. Our employees have been trained on infection control and how to identify early symptoms of COVID-19 infection. We've been very fortunate that we've been able to address outbreaks at our Campbell Place and Rathdown aged care homes relatively quickly and minimise the impact to our residents and employees and, thankfully, had a good outcome. We've learned a lot from these experiences and have adjusted our operations in response. In areas with higher risks, we've stepped up our safety approach. The commitment to our employees of protecting the thousands of vulnerable people who receive care and services from Australian Unity reflects our company's proud 180-year history of supporting the wellbeing of its members, customers and community. If this great work is to continue, the company's leadership knows it must do everything it can to support and protect its workforce. We must make sure our employees remain safe and well and feel informed and supported. Our people leaders are communicating the most up-to-date advice on how we are managing the COVID-19 situation directly to their teams. We've set up an advice line for any specific questions employees may have. To protect our customers and employees, we reviewed and updated all key policies, including our infection prevention and control policy, introduced specific COVID-19 policies, and updated their employee leave guidelines. We recognise that COVID-19 is affecting the way we work and creating new and sometimes challenging issues for our people. Leave management guidelines have been structured to support exposure scenarios, self-isolation for underlying health conditions, and situations outside our employee control that may affect balancing caring and work responsibilities. We understand that our people may be feeling concerned, anxious, or overwhelmed by the situation we find ourselves in with COVID-19. While it's important to stay informed, we also need to take care of ourselves, including our mental health. Through our employee assistance program, all employees and members of their families can access free of charge, short-term confidential counselling provided by an experienced independent provider. The counselling discussion is friendly, informal, and focused on individual needs. We're also asked what we're doing to help private health insurance members who may be experiencing financial hardship created by COVID-19. With the onset of COVID-19 pandemic in March this year, Australian Unity deferred all premium increases scheduled for 1 April 2020 for a period of 6 months. This measure saved our policyholders more than $8 million. While the freeze was lifted on 1 October, we continue to provide financial hardship assistance to customers affected by the pandemic. Policyholders who received financial hardship assistance from the company before 1 October had their scheduled premium increase automatically deferred for a further 6 months until 1 April 2021. We also offer to any policyholders receiving the government's Job Seeker or Job Keeper allowance the opportunity to apply to have their premium increase deferred for a further 6 months. This targeted assistance, along with our standard hardship support procedures, will help people who have been hit hard by COVID-19 maintain their health insurance while they get their lives back on track. Thank you again for taking the time to submit some of your questions in advance. As mentioned earlier, we will be addressing live questions with the relevant resolutions later in the meeting. I'll now ask Rowan to present his report on the performance of the group, and we'll be back later to continue with the formal business of the meeting. Thank you, and I'll now hand over to Rowan.
Thank you, Peter. I would also like to extend a special welcome to everyone who has joined us for this first virtual AGM in our 180-year history. And I too would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land from which I'm speaking today, the people of the Kulin Nations. And I also acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which each of us are working and living on today. I pay my respects to their elders, past, present and emerging, and acknowledge any other elders from any nations who may be present. Members, I'm pleased to report to you on the Australian Unity Group's performance in FY20, and I note we have members here from across the group's operations. In sporting parlance, commentators would describe the last financial year as a year of two halves. In the first half, we progressed our strategic priorities in a strong market. However, in the second half, we were tested operationally and financially by a pandemic that brought substantial community and economic disruption. To conclude the sporting analogy, the match review would report that despite the challenges presented by COVID-19, the group maintained positive momentum with its strategic agenda. As the chair mentioned, facing into the emerging pandemic, we took decisive action to protect our members, customers and employees. We announced and then deferred a below-industry average health insurance premium increase and followed up with a material set of hardship support provisions for our health insurance, banking and other services. And we continued to grow our human services and social infrastructure activities while protecting the customers and staff of those activities from COVID-19. While the financial performance of our underlying business portfolio was resilient in many regards, there were nonetheless significant revenue and cost impacts on the financial results. Despite the turbulence, the group delivered a profit after income tax of $15 million for the financial year, compared to $53 million for the prior year. Overall, we estimate that direct and indirect COVID-19 impacts reduced the year's net profit before income tax by approximately $26 million. In addition, the result was affected by costs associated with the relocation of the group's corporate offices, as well as some $5.4 million in additional timing-related costs due to the inception of the new accounting standard on leases. Also, in terms of year-on-year assessments, there was no equivalent in the year under review to the legal settlements received in the life and super business in the financial year 2019. Despite the unprecedented challenges that emerged as the year under review unfolded, we continued to progress our strategic ambition of developing a portfolio of valued health, wealth and care services for members and customers. We delivered or progressed several initiatives aligned to this agenda. These included the launch of Ramsay Connect, a joint venture through our subsidiary company Remedy Healthcare, to deliver a seamless integrated pathway for patients during and post-hospitalisation, the ongoing development of Brisbane's Hurston Quarter Health Precinct with the Queensland Government, the launch of the Australian Unity Green Bond Fund to invest in green, social and sustainable fixed interest securities, and a specialist disability accommodation fund to invest in a portfolio of assets that will provide accessible accommodation for Australians with disability. A priority for the group in the last financial year was the maintenance of a solid balance sheet position. To this end, in October 2019, the group took advantage of capital market and investor support, along with attractive market settings, and acted to spread the maturity of its borrowings through the issue of $322 million of Series C and Series D Australian Unity bonds. Of this amount, $178.7 million was used to refinance previously issued Series B Australian Unity bonds. This refinancing allowed the group to continue to operate confidently and effectively despite the emergence of COVID-19. I will now address the performance of our three operating platforms, each of which made a positive contribution to the financial result in the year under review. The independent and assisted living platform operates retirement communities and provides aged care, allied health and disability services. It offers preventative health and chronic disease management services through the wholly owned subsidiary Remedy Healthcare and direct healthcare services through dental clinics. In FY20, the IAL platform continued to progress its operating model, which is driving a consumer-centred continuum of care across home care, residential care, and with the benefit of Remedy Healthcare allied health services. Despite the disruption of last summer's bushfires and COVID-19, IAL's total segment revenue increased by 5.8% to $496.4 million. IAL ended the financial year with an adjusted EBITDA of $66.1 million, which was an increase of 37.2% on the prior year, or 64.8% excluding the development portfolio. This increase reflected a continued focus on improving the sustainability of IAL's home care services business, and in FY20, IAL continued to focus on its development pipeline of aged care and retirement communities while acquiring the Heritage Retirement Village in Hunters Hill, New South Wales in February 2020. At 30 June 2020, IAL owned and operated 21 retirement communities across Victoria and New South Wales, comprising 2,496 independent living units compared to 2,469 at 30 June in the prior year. The retail platform brings together our private health insurance, banking and our general insurance broking businesses. Retail had a challenging year in mixed operating conditions, with adjusted EBITDA of $61.2 million, representing a 17.7% decrease on the prior year. This result was driven principally by the growth in private health insurance claims expenses exceeding revenue growth for the year. Revenue was impacted by a decrease in health insurance policies and postponement of the April 2020 premium increase. The private health insurance business also experienced higher than expected claims, which was partly due to underestimation of prior year claims across the sector. Unusually lower claims volumes during March to June 2020 due to restrictions on elective surgery and access to ancillary benefits occur. We expect a catch-up period and have recorded a specific deferred claims liability of $37.6 million as at 30 June. In the financial year, the health insurance business supported the well-being of our members, paying for 1.8 million ancillary services, 155,000 hospital treatments, and 25,000 out-of-hospital care episodes provided through Remedy Healthcare. However, a 5% decrease in policyholders reflected ongoing affordability challenges, the COVID-19 effects on health insurance and its value proposition, emerging economic uncertainty, and closure of international borders. which affected the number of international visitors taking out a policy. As I remarked at last year's AGM, this operating environment, which is impacting all providers, underscores the need for effective healthcare sector-wide reform. Regarding the platform's banking business, Australian Unity Bank, we were pleased in the year under review with the strong lending growth, which enabled it to offset the impact of lower interest rates on its revenues. Our wealth and capital markets platform comprises advice, investments, life and super, property and trustee services. Wealth and capital markets recorded an adjusted EBITDA of $32.8 million for the financial year, which was a 35% decrease on the prior year. The platform recorded a 5.8% decrease in total segment revenues compared to the previous period. However, adjusting for one-off legal settlements in the life and super business in the prior period, the platform actually delivered revenue growth across most of its business segments. The decrease in adjusted EBITDA was also relatively affected by the legal settlements in the 2019 financial year. Notable highlights for the wealth and capital markets during the FY20 financial year included the continued progress of the Hurston Quarter development, as well as the launch of the Green Bond Fund and Specialist Disability Accommodation Funds, which I've mentioned. These are all initiatives that contribute to the group's long-term sustainability while delivering community and social value outcomes for members, customers, and the broader Australian community. Members, as you have seen and no doubt experienced in your own lives, the last financial year was a year like no other. Indeed, the disruption caused by COVID-19 has continued into the current financial year, as evidenced by the fact that we are holding this AGM as an online event because we cannot access our corporate offices in Melbourne. While the group has not been immune to the industry and broader market volatility driven by the COVID-19 pandemic, our strategic position over many years has continued to make positive forward progress, if muted, during the year under review. And we remain well positioned for long-term sustainability and for growing our increasingly needed and valued services for burgeoning community needs. This positive forward momentum is in no small part due to the extraordinary efforts of our staff and management colleagues, who I thank and commend for their wonderful commitment under the guidance of our leadership team and board.
Thank you, Rowan. As mentioned earlier in the meeting, three of our directors are offering themselves for re-election today. Melinda Colento and Lisa Chung, having served as directors for the past 3 years without re-election, and Julian Players, who joined us earlier this year. Further on in the proceedings, we will be addressing the relevant resolutions. I will now invite the nominees to address you briefly. I first invite Melinda Colento to speak.
Good afternoon. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Melinda Colento. I've been on the board of Australian Unity since 2014, and if I can say so, time has flown. I'm an economist by training, and I've worked across the public and private sectors for around 30 years now. That's included working for the Federal Treasury, the Productivity Commission, and the International Monetary Fund in Washington, D.C. I've also worked as the Head of Economics for Invesco and with the Business Council of Australia. I'm currently the CEO of the Committee for Economic Development of Australia. I co-chair Reconciliation Australia, and I'm a member of the Expert Advisory Panel for the Parliamentary Budget Office. In addition, I sit on the investment committee of the Go Foundation, the foundation set up by Adam Goods and Michael O'Loughlin in support of education opportunities for Indigenous children. I'm passionate about finding ways in which we can pursue both commercial success as well as community benefit. It's probably not surprising, but that's one of the great reasons why I'm so interested and involved with Australian Unity and so pleased to be able to make a contribution as a director of Australian Unity. In my time on the Australian Unity Board, I've sat on a number of different committees. Currently, I chair the Investment Committee, and I also sit on the Risk Committee and the People, Culture and Remuneration Committee. The past year has been a really challenging one for all Australians. It's reminded me why organisations like Australian Unity are so important, not just to our economy, but to our community. There are great challenges ahead, but there are also tremendous opportunities. And with the support of members, I'm looking forward to being able to pursue those opportunities with Australian Unity in the interest of our members. Thank you.
Hello to you all, from wherever you are tuning in. It's hard to believe that it's been 3 years since I last addressed you at the Australian Unity Annual General Meeting in 2017, when I was seeking your support for appointment as a non-executive director of this wonderful organisation. In the intervening period, for me, there have been many highlights, such as observing the completion of the soon-to-be-opened Surgical Treatment and Rehabilitation Service at the Hurston Quarter in Brisbane, the opening of Sienna Grange Retirement Community and Aged Care in Port Macquarie, which the Board had the pleasure of visiting late last year, our move to our new building in Spring Street, Melbourne, the growth in our allied health services via our remedy business, delivering services in the home to customers and members, and more recently, via telehealth. And of course, the numerous visits I have paid, including to the homes of clients, of our services, residential communities and care homes, and to meet with staff in many of our locations. At the beginning of last year, I became the chair of the Board's People, Culture and Remuneration Committee, which has oversight to ensure that Australian Unity recruits the best talent, provides support and development opportunities to, and rewards, recognises and remunerates our people in accordance with our values and commitments to them. It has been a challenging year for our people in all respects. Firstly, dealing with the devastating bushfires in December and January, followed, of course, by COVID-19. However, the way in which our people have responded to these challenges has been nothing short of inspiring and makes me very proud to be a director of Australian Unity. In particular, I pay tribute to our CEO, Rowan Mead, and his group leadership team for their unfailing leadership during this time. I would also like to recognise and sincerely thank all of our frontline workers who continued to provide quality care and services to our members and customers in the most difficult of circumstances. Looking ahead, I am optimistic for the future of Australian Unity. As one of Australia's leading mutuals, it is the strength of our philosophy, better together, in our retirement communities and aged care, and our commitment to real well-being, which speak to who we are and the value we aspire to deliver to you, our members. This year, at our first virtual AGM, we do not have the pleasure of meeting members in person, one of the few opportunities we have as board members to do so. However, I would like to thank you for the opportunity to serve as a director of Australian Unity over the past 3 years. And I now seek your continued support as I offer myself a re-election as a director of Australian Unity, and I reconfirm my commitment to serve you, our members, to the best of my ability. Best wishes to you all, especially those in Victoria who are still living with lockdown restrictions. There is light at the end of the tunnel. I would now like to introduce my colleague, Julian Playoust, our most recently appointed director.
Good afternoon. My name is Julian Playoust. I'm the newly appointed non-executive director to the board of Australian Unity Limited, effective 1st of February 2020. At the outset, I would like to say that it was a great delight to accept the appointment to Australian Unity, an organisation that prides itself on its long-standing contribution to Australian society. As a mutual maintaining a for-purpose and for-profit mandate for its members and customers, Australian Unity upholds an uncommon position within business and society, and I look forward to representing the members and contributing to the organisation's evolution into the 21st century. We have many opportunities ahead of us. By way of my background, I have more than 25 years' experience as a director in public and private companies, including ASX 100, SMEs and not-for-profits. My experience crosses numerous sectors, including property, professional and financial services, the arts, media, agriculture, energy and consumer discretionary. I've been managing director of AEH Group since 2003, a business involved in the development and operation of retirement villages and funds management. I'm currently a trustee and deputy chairman of the Art Gallery of New South Wales Foundation and a member of the advisory board of the Nature Conservancy. I'm the chairman of the Finance and Investment Committees of both these organisations. My past appointments include non-executive director of ASX-listed Tats Group Limited, MCM Entertainment Group Limited, and Australian Renewable Fuels Limited. I was a founding director of Time Out Australia and director of Ventura Health, and I was a member of the UNSW Art and Design Advisory Board. I worked with AMP, NAB and Extension. By way of my qualifications, I hold a Bachelor of Science in Architecture, a Bachelor of Architecture, First Class Honours and MBA, and I'm a Fellow of the Australian Institute of Company Directors. Now, most importantly for me, I'm passionate about well-being, art, environment and impact, attributes that seem well aligned with the culture and aspirations of Australian unity. I believe these come together in innovative thought being directed towards building sustainable business models for economic and social good, sustainable resources and environment, plus healthy communities and culture. Now, personally, I live in Manly in Sydney, by the sea in the bush, together with my wife and three young children. I travel regularly to the central western slopes and plains of New South Wales, where I manage a merino sheep property. Once again, I'm both delighted and humbled to act on behalf of the members as a non-executive director for Australian Unity. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Melinda, Lisa and Julian. I've addressed some of the most commonly asked questions that were submitted by members in advance of this meeting earlier in my address. However, you will have seen that the online platform afforded members and their proxies an opportunity to ask questions of a general nature live at the meeting. I'll now take some time to consider those general questions. Moderator, are there any general questions?
Chair, there are no general questions.
In that case, as there are no questions, we'll move on with the rest of the agenda. We'll proceed to the formal items of business of this meeting. Firstly, this is a meeting of members. Accordingly, only members, their attorneys, proxies and authorised representatives are entitled to speak at this meeting and to participate in the poll. Only financial members and proxy holders are entitled to vote. If you're here as a proxy holder and have been instructed on how to vote on the summary of votes, you do not need to do anything. If you have open votes, please cast the votes as you see fit. Proxy holders have received a summary of votes from Link Market Services prior to the meeting, showing how they've been directed to vote. On each item, we will defer announcement of proxies received until the conclusion of the discussion and before the resolution is put to the meeting. As indicated on the notice of meeting and the proxy form, I will vote open proxies given to me as chair of the meeting for the relevant motion. Today, we have three items of business before the meeting: the noting of the financial report and related reports, the adoption of the remuneration report, and the re-election of three of your directors. As chair, I have determined that all of these items will be voted on by way of a poll. Financial members and proxy holders have until I declare this meeting closed to electronically lodge their vote. Julie Stokes of Link Market Services Limited is acting as returning officer and will, with the assistance of our online technology, count all votes and advise me of the result in respect of the voting on each resolution. The board has also appointed Andrew Cronin of PwC Australia as the scrutineer. Both Julie and Andrew have agreed to act in this capacity. Our first item of business is to consider and note the company's financial directors and auditors reports for the year ended 30th of June 2020. Members who have opted in were sent the annual report. Accordingly, I will take this report as read. I'm now pleased to take any questions relating to the financial and related reports. Please remember that the questions on the remaining agenda items will be taken during the meeting as we come to those agenda items. If necessary, I may also call on the Group Managing Director to comment on the particular matters. The company's audit partner, Andrew Cronin of PwC Australia, is online today. He is available to respond to questions you may have regarding the conduct of the audit and the content and preparation of the auditor's report. Moderator, are there any questions on Resolution 1?
Chair, there are no questions on Resolution 1.
As there are no questions, we will now have a vote to note the financial report, director's report and auditor's report. Before I put the motion, I confirm that 649 valid available proxies have been received. I move that the financial report, director's report and auditor's report for the year ended 30th of June 2020 be noted. Please now select either for, against or abstain for Resolution 1 on your voting card. Thank you. That concludes our consideration of item 1. We now come to the second item of business, to adopt the company's remuneration report for the year ended 30th of June 2020. As explained in the notice of meeting, the Corporations Act requires a non-binding resolution to be put to members for the adoption of the remuneration report. The vote on this resolution is advisory only and does not bind the company. The board will, however, take the outcome of the vote into consideration when reviewing remuneration practices and policies. This report is a broad statement of the company's policies and strategies in relation to director and executive remuneration. Moderator, are there any questions on Resolution 2?
Chair, there are no questions on Resolution 2.
Before I put the motion, I confirm that 619 valid available proxies have been received. I move that the remuneration report for the year ended 30th of June 2020 be adopted. Please now select either for, against or abstain for Resolution 2 on your voting card. Thank you. That concludes our consideration of item 2. The next item of business is the re-election of your directors, Melinda Colenso, Lisa Chung and Julian Post. Biographical details for Melinda, Lisa and Julian are included in the notice of meeting, and each have provided an address earlier in the proceedings. Moderator, are there any questions on Resolutions 3A, 3B or 3C?
Chair, there are no questions for these resolutions.
I confirm that 658 valid available proxies have been received relating to the re-election of Melinda Colenso. I now move the resolution relating to the re-election of Melinda Colenso. Please now select either for, against or abstain for Resolution 3A on your voting card. I confirm that 648 valid available proxies have been received in relation to the re-election of Lisa Chung. I now move the resolution relating to the re-election of Lisa Chung. Please now select either for, against or abstain for Resolution 3B on your voting card. I confirm that 656 valid available proxies have been received relating to the re-election of Julian Post. I now move the resolution relating to the re-election of Julian Post. Please now select for, against or abstain for Resolution 3C on your voting card. We have now come to the end of the meeting. Members and proxy holders, you should now submit your votes if you haven't already done so. The meeting will remain open for a further 5 minutes, after which it will officially close.
You're welcome to leave us before that time ends. Thank you for your participation today. I do hope that we will be able to see you in person at our 2021 AGM next year.